Welcome to Coaching and Cocktails, the podcast.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
Here we are.
We are here for another empowerment series.
An empowerment project series. And that's Brandy. And this is Tina. And this is Coaching and Cocktails, the podcast.
Absolutely. So do you want to give a little preview on who we have?
Yep. So today we are going to talk about or have you listen to Caitlin Yap Chung. And she has also been a long-term client of mine for several years now. She's not currently a client because, but as you will hear in her story, kind of where she is in her life. I met her as a posing client. She was working with another coach. I think she talks about that in her story too. So I'm not going to tell her whole story. But through posing coaching, she decided she wanted something a little different in her, you know, sort of next experience as far as coaching. And so she's another one. I just love this girl. And look, after you listen to her story, check her out on, I'll make sure we give all of her social media pages because she's just, that girl loves her TikTok and she is just so fun to watch. If you're into TikTok and all of that, yeah, we'll make sure we post all of her handles so you guys can follow her adventures. But we will let Caitlin tell you her story. Coming right up. Have a listen.
Hi, my name is Caitlin and I'm currently 33 years old as I record this empowerment series episode for Tina and Brandy's podcast. Also, full disclosure, I wanted this to sound more conversational and off the cuff. So when I tried recording this for the first time, I didn't have anything written down. I just wanted to like go out of my head, but then my like ADD kicked in and then I would go off topic and then I'd forget to say something and then it was out of order. So then I tried to go off of like bullet points, but then that didn't work out either. So I completely typed everything you're about to hear. So I apologize in advance if this sounds a bit scripted, but I just wanted to make sure I got everything in and said everything that I wanted to convey. So first off, I would also like to thank Tina and Brandy for giving me an opportunity to share my story and fitness journey. I really hope that what I have to say helps at least one person in their journey, whether it's to not feel like they're alone in their fitness goals or thoughts of body dysmorphia or dealing with the pressures of friends and family once they learn you're taking steps to better your health and yourself. When Tina approached me to do an episode on her podcast, I had already competed in several shows and was kind of at a place where I really wasn't sure what my next step was going to be. But thankfully, I'm at a place now in my journey where I feel confident enough to share my story. So a little bit of background on me. I am a product of immigrant parents who come from a third world country. I feel like this is important information as my parents were not really ones to emphasize health or fitness and well-being as a priority based on their upbringing and economic status. I also grew up in a generation that my mom still cannot seem to break from where she thinks carbs are bad and cardio is good, weightlifting will make you look like a man, and if all else fails, just eat less food. But more on that later. I started working out and exercising the latter half of my high school years. When I was a sophomore, I would hang out with my older brother who had a car and drove us around. Every morning, we went to Dunkin' Donuts and I got one of those giant, super sugary blended coffee drinks and a donut or a bagel for breakfast. Then, after school, most days, our activities included Wendy's or McDonald's or the local Wingstop. You can see how healthy these pre- and post-school activities were. I remember looking at a photo of myself at my brother's graduation and thinking, oh my God, is that what I really look like? My face was so round and I definitely looked a little bit on the heavier side. And for context, I am only 5'1" and I have a pretty petite frame. I remember talking to my mom about it and we signed up for these Latin American dance classes that we had never heard of at the time that were called Zumba. And it was great. I had so much fun with my mom and her friends going to these dance classes once or twice a week, sweating my butt off, listening to music in a language I could not understand, and hoping I would lose the weight. Eventually it did come off, but I also attribute that to no longer eating Dunkin' Donuts every morning or fast food after school, as my brother was now in college and I was back to taking the bus, walking, or catching a ride from a friend. Eventually, I graduated and I went off to college and I had the worst habits. I was partying probably 6 nights a week, binge drinking, eating trash food when I did eat, but also waking up and going to a cardio class at the gym at 6 a.m. I didn't know anything about weightlifting, and per my mom, it was going to make me look manly. The weightlifting area in the gym terrified me. It was all cardio all the time. I was what you would classify as skinny fat, because I wasn't super heavy looking, but I didn't have any definition or muscles, and I had this like little belly on me. I graduated college and I moved back home, and my habits didn't get any better. I was just older with slightly more money and more freedom. At the time, I worked in retail, and so my hours were always a bit weird. I would go into work at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, work all day, barely eating, close the store at 10 or 11. Then I would get ready, meet my girlfriends, and we'd go out to Miami and go to the clubs and party till all hours of the night. I would get home, literally grab a juice box from the fridge, make a plate of frozen pizza rolls in the microwave, lay in my bed and watch whatever was on TLC and pass out till about 8 a.m. where I would get up and, you guessed it, go to a spin class or a cardio class. I'd get home, I'd shower, and I would head to work, and I would do it all over again. I swear, looking back, it's like I was living Groundhog's Day every day, and somehow I never got tired of it. After doing that for a few years, I got a real job in an office with normal working hours, and my partying had to be saved for the weekends. My boss at the time was also into health and fitness. However, she had the same mentality my mom and I had about dieting and exercising. I remember we would show each other our super low-carb diets and meal plans and praise each other for barely eating anything all day. Then I would go to the gym after work and work out for an hour or two. By this time, I got a little bit more comfortable in the weight area and would do that as well as a spin class or some kind of cardio class. Of course, I had no real idea of what I was doing in the weight area besides watching other people and YouTube videos. So even though I was working out a ton and barely eating, I was still skinny fat. I didn't have any definition. My butt was as flat as a pancake. And looking back at photos of me, I honestly look sickly. I was around 25 at this time, and Instagram was just becoming a thing. I remember seeing a photo of a fitness model and saying to my girlfriend at work, "That's what I want to look like. I want to look strong and hot." Of course, I had no idea where to even begin to do that. Remember, my family didn't grow up going to the gym or having any kind of training in health or fitness, so I didn't know that that was like a thing. Like hiring a trainer or a coach was a thing you could do. I thought you had to be some kind of professional athlete or fitness model to get a trainer or a coach at the gym. So again, I went to YouTube and I watched people at the gym and I tried to do everything on my own. I bought online programs and, spoiler, they never worked because they didn't explain anything. I had no idea what I was doing, and they sent me a cookie cutter plan that they probably send to everybody that signs up and throws money at them. Fast forward a few years, and my husband, then boyfriend, and I moved to the DC area and started going to our local LA Fitness. I was still determined to become this strong fitness model looking woman, but was still trying to do everything on my own. And that's when I met one of my best friends, as she was also working out at LA Fitness. Full disclosure, and she knows this, but when I first saw her, I thought she was the equivalent of a female gym bro. She hung out with these like super jacked guys who were loud and obnoxious at the gym. I remember one time they even commented on these walking lunges and squats I was doing, and I just rolled my eyes at them pretending I couldn't hear them. Little did I know I would become friends with all of them, and Carolyn would become one of my ride or die best girlfriends. At the time, she was training for her competition, and I was so intrigued. I didn't even know about bodybuilding competitions or that they existed. I just thought people did fitness modeling for Instagrams or fitness magazines. She introduced me to her trainer and really took me under her wing, explaining all about female bodybuilding and the process, the federations, the organizations, the categories, the classes, the breakdown of everything. Since I was still a bit intimidated with all of this, I asked her trainer if he would consider training me, as I knew nothing and wasn't even sure if this was something I wanted to commit myself to. He agreed, and we dove headfirst into a four-month prep for a competition in August. In hindsight, I definitely should have taken more time to actually grow before cutting, but I was determined and we jumped right in. I don't want this to come off as if I'm speaking ill of him and his training techniques, but knowing what I know now, I would have never hired him as a trainer for a women's bodybuilding competition. I think it turned out okay, though, because I wasn't even sure this was something I really wanted to commit time and money on into. So the fact that he was just like cheaper and this was just a side hustle for him made it okay for me. Also, I had no idea what to expect and didn't really have anything to compare it to. He emailed me workouts and a meal plan. My meal plan was literally eating the same thing every single day. I don't remember what the exact meal plan was, but it would be something like 1 cup of plain oats with a cup of egg whites for breakfast. And then lunch would be 4 ounces of ground turkey and steamed broccoli and brown rice. And the pre or post workout was 2 tablespoons of peanut butter and a rice cake. And for dinner, I'd have chicken breasts and some steamed vegetables. I was so bored and tired of eating the same food every single day. It made me deviate and eat off his meal plan just to get some kind of food satisfaction and flavor all the time. However, this did lead me to Tina. You see, my coach at the time referred all of his clients to her for posing. So a few months before the competition, I started seeing Tina to learn how to pose for the competitions. Finally, August came, and I competed in my first OCB show, the Presidential Cup. I placed okay, I think like 3rd and 4th in the debut, novice, and open classes. At the time, I felt good about what I had accomplished and wasn't sure if I was going to compete again. It was kind of just like a bucket list item that I was just able to check off. But then the dreaded post-show blues kicked in. I didn't even know this was a thing till I heard it on a podcast that Carolyn had sent me. I only imagine this is what being clinically depressed feels like. I had no motivation to do anything. I didn't have a reverse diet plan, so I was constantly throwing up for like 3 weeks post-show. I was barely gaining back any of my weight, and I just felt like I was at a loss. This is where I decided maybe I should do another competition. I felt like this gave me purpose and drive and motivation to get back into the gym and out of this funk. So this is when I reached out to Tina and asked her to be my coach. Of course, we cleared it with my previous coach and he was cool with it, especially since he didn't want to train anybody anymore anyway. I told Tina I wanted to do a show in 6 months, and I'm pretty sure she laughed at me. Since I had done the 4-month prep for my last show, I thought I would do the same thing. I didn't know about growth or off season in between competitions. I thought you just go from one show into the next show and the next show. So our main focus would be to gain weight and grow my muscles. This meant eating more and lifting heavy. Tina taught me about tracking macros and calories and working out with a focus. I learned how to track how much weight I was lifting, connect my mind to muscle during lifting, and about perceived rate of exertions during exercises. While I would lift heavy at the gym, I often had a hard time eating enough food. Ever since I was in high school to this point, I always ate a low-calorie, low-carb diet, as I learned from my mom and other adult women around me. I would constantly find myself at 8 o'clock at night needing to eat 500 more calories. I would load my dinner plate with a mountain of food, only to get sick from eating that much, and would end up throwing it all up an hour later and go to bed on an empty stomach. Another one of my problems with food is that I'm a super picky, plain, clean eater. I don't eat fast food or fry food or high fat foods. I don't eat pork. I don't eat beef. And so I would tell people that I had a hard time eating enough calories, and they would just constantly say, well, just go to McDonald's and get like a Big Mac or something. I had to learn what foods had more calories, like eating a bagel instead of a rice cake. The greatest thing about working with Tina, though, is that she really worked with me and was patient with me, knowing that I had all of these food issues. Slowly, I started to gain weight and I put on muscle, and we were finally making some progress. And then the pandemic hit. I continued to work out, but definitely felt like I wasn't making the progress I was making in the gym, as I was limited to home workouts and resistance bands. But we made it through, and starting January 2021, we started getting into competition prep mode. Just as I made it out to around 200 calories a day, we started cutting my calories and increasing cardio at the gym. The cut wasn't that hard for me, as my body had gotten used to surviving on low calories all those years before, but it also meant that we had to get super low the closer and closer we got to the shows, because my body just was not reacting to the deficit as we had planned it to. Aside from the actual show days, I was eating around 800 calories during my peak week. I also did 3 back-to-back shows in 4 weeks. I don't know if that was a good decision or not, especially being in peak for a week essentially being in peak for a month or spreading out my competitions, going up and down in calories over a period of a few months, but I guess to each their own and whatever works best for you. Okay, so getting into my shows. My first competition of the season was in Richmond, Virginia. Also, for those who are listening to this and don't know anything about bodybuilding, is that there isn't a specific competition season. Competitions happen year-round all over the country. It just depends on when and where those shows land and when you decide you are going to participate in them. Tina and I had wanted to get me down to around 105 to 106 pounds for the show, but my body just was not reacting to the cardio and calorie deficit, and I had stepped on stage at around 108 pounds for that show. I still felt great about the show and my package. However, there was one little miscommunication. If you had listened to Tina and Brandy's recap of that Richmond show, I thought I was supposed to be drinking coconut water that day for some reason. I don't know. My brain wasn't working on low calories, and it totally softened up my entire look by the time I stepped on stage. I was a little disappointed in myself and my placement. I got feedback from their judges, and their main focus was that I needed to work on my legs and glutes, something that Tina and I already knew. It was frustrating to hear that I needed to work on something that I knew I couldn't change within a week or two for my next competitions. I felt defeated. I didn't even want to compete in the next shows. I mean, if you've ever done anything like this, when you're in survival mode on minimal calories, your hormones and emotions are like all over the place. I was getting my period every 2 weeks, so like literally twice a month. My hormonal changes in my body was just crazy and everything just sucked. The next show that was coming up fast, though, was the Catonville Conqueror show in Maryland. This show was, I think, the best show I've ever competed in. I felt great at the show. My package was on point. I was not drinking coconut water. I was ready to hit the stage. I met so many wonderful women at the show who I've actually kept in contact with and have become friends outside of the bodybuilding community. What I also liked about this show is that the other women did not come to play. Or wait, did they come to play? I don't know what that saying is. But they all looked fierce. And so I knew the competition wasn't going to be easy. I stepped on stage. I did my thing with all the confidence in the world. After I got off stage, we were waiting for the judges and their results. And I got such great feedback from people I didn't even know who were at the show. The other competitors and the judges from the show. Oh, there was another competitor and a judge from like other shows that was just in the audience and thought I had such a great package and thought I was going to take like first or second in my class and that I killed it on stage. I was on such a high. Then the results came in. And again, I placed third and fourth. I was so confused. Everybody was confused. I mean, I was still riding this high and I honestly didn't even care about the placement, but some of my supporters were downright angry at these results. Which led me to my second reason for not wanting to compete again. I felt like I had put in this work, I brought the best package to stage, and it still didn't matter. Whether it was due to politics or the other women I was up against, I just couldn't win. It's like, I can't keep trying, and I'm like doing my absolute best and still not win. Like, what's the point of all of this? Why put myself through all of this if I can't get first place or my pro card, which is what I'm aiming for? I talked to Tina about this and we decided to get through my last show and then figure out a game plan from there. My final show of my season was 2 weeks later in Atlantic City. Since I was the only one on the team competing for this show, it was just me and my husband going. No coaches, no makeup artists, no other teammates to cheer me on. Which, to be honest, was fine with me. I actually felt a little less stressed just being there on my own, doing my own thing. I'd still check in with Tina every couple hours, and she was watching from online, but I like pretty much knew what was going to happen. I had 2 recent shows under my belt, and I knew exactly what to do. I did feel a little intimidation from the other athletes and the sheer amount of competitors at this competition. There were 4 bikini classes of women, each with about 7 to 8 competitors per class. Oh, and I did lose those 2 extra pounds that week, so I was down to my goal of 106 pounds for the stage. So I was confident and ready to do this. the last show where I could leave it all on stage and then go eat some donuts or something afterwards. For this competition, I only competed in the open class and not the novice because, to be honest, Tina and I thought I wouldn't even be eligible for novice by this show, even though I actually was since I hadn't placed first in any of the previous competitions. Well, all of that hard work paid off and I won first in my class, which provided me the opportunity to compete against the other first place winners in the other classes for the overall winner. And in this competition, because there were so many competitors, the first and second place winner of the open class of the top four would get their pro card. Okay. I'm not trying to sound like a bitch, but I feel like I definitely think I should have won the overall first place. I think I got third overall, which is great. However, I feel like the two other women who got first and second weren't exactly in the right category. I was also not the only one who thinks this. I emailed the judges to get feedback, and while most had nothing negative to say about my package and thought I looked great, even one of the judges said he put me down to win first in the overall, apparently I just wasn't as muscular as the other women. Which brings me to my third reason for not wanting to compete again. This sport is very subjective and open to a lot of interpretation. It is my understanding that the bikini competitor should be lean, with some definition of muscle but not overly defined, be proportionate and balanced, and still have a bit of a softer look. If you have a more muscular look with defined abs and glutes and hamstrings, then you should be competing in the next category, which would be like figure, or go to an NPC or an IFBB show. Many people asked me if the two women who won the competition were in the figure category, which like I felt like they should have. The problem is since there isn't really like a line between the two, women can compete in any category they want. The winner of the overall bikini category at the Catonsville show went on to compete and win another show weeks later in a figure category. So to me, by awarding the more muscular women in the bikini division is now setting a precedent that that is what you should look like, not what the actual bikini division definition states. Anyway, I was happy with my win, and I was happy to be done with the season, and happy to get back into the gym, reverse diet, eating more calories. Well, as they say, when you make plans, God laughs, because that is exactly what did not happen. Right after my shows, I had a lot of planned and unplanned traveling happen. I was all over the place. I wasn't able to work out consistently or eat normally. Oh, and I also injured my left hip before the competitions, which still hadn't healed properly. So I was in constant pain. I wasn't able to lift heavy. I was dealing with an untimely death in the family and just a lot of shit going on in my personal life. The gym would be my refuge when I didn't want to deal with all these things. And I ended up putting on about 10 to 12 pounds and wasn't really sure what I was doing with my life. Eventually, Tina and I discussed my options. As I didn't have any plans to step back on stage, but was still liking to live this lifestyle. I liked being in control of my macros and the food I was eating. I was happy to be sleeping normally and not being constipated all the time. I did go to the doctor eventually and get my hip healed and fixed and everything, so I was able to start lifting heavy again at the gym. And with all the knowledge that Tina had given me, we felt like she didn't really need to be my trainer anymore. We agreed that I should probably just save my money and follow up with her in a month or so on how I was feeling, if I felt like I needed to do monthly check-ins or go off on my own. Which leads me to where I am today. I am not currently working with Tina or any coach, and I'm happily just living my life, eating flexible, but still tracking, going to the gym 5 days a week when I can, and lifting heavy. And if I don't make it to the gym 5 days a week, I'm okay with that. Yes, there have been times when I get overly indulgent and need to keep myself accountable and perhaps go back to basics of food, more so for just like digestive health and less for like any weight reasons. But it's something that I now know how to do on my own. I now have a healthy relationship with food and calories and not restricting myself. Right now it's Thanksgiving and I had zero guilt about going to a Friendsgiving potluck and eating all the delicious foods, including pie and cookies. Last week, a friend of mine gave me and my husband a chocolate bourbon pecan pie. And let me tell you how delicious it's been. And how great it's been to eat a slice almost every single day and have no guilt about it. I know that this kind of food freedom is something Tina wants for all of her clients and women in general. To not be a slave to food or the gym or Instagram, to be able to take control of our bodies and our minds and be living our best life, to be healthy and happy and enjoy family and vacations and holidays without any guilt, but also to feel good in our bodies and use them for what they're made for. It is literally the best gift anybody has given me, and there aren't enough words to thank her for that. So I guess that's it. Kind of a long journey and story. I hope you enjoyed it and got something out of it. Sorry, I'm not sorry for this shameless plug, but if you're still more interested in my story and journey, I've been documenting it on Instagram. The handle is watch_me_fitness, and I put up videos and photos in real time during my fitness journey, depicting exactly how I felt in that moment, whether I was in bulking or cutting or prepping or whatever. I'm posting a little bit less these days just because I'm not, I don't really have the content, I guess, for competition, but I don't know. If you're interested, check it out. Well, thanks for listening. Bye.
So that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin is fun. You can't listen to Caitlin and not have fun.
Yeah, it was good. And as I was listening, I caught myself being like, oh my God, yes, yes. Oh my God, yes. Like talking about the diet culture from her parents and, you know, growing up in the, you know, she's a little bit younger, but in my vernacular, it's like the 1980s Jane Fonda dieting by drinking Tab and having cigarettes only. And that was the plan. Just the most unhealthy shit you could ever imagine.
Skinny by all means possible. Like I've seen some young pictures of her and, you know, she just like, it just looks completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, whenever people talk about that era, it just brings back so many memories and kind of makes you laugh and makes you think about how far we've come as a culture of women with body image and health image and just understanding what's healthy and not healthy and all of that. So,
I think it's fantastic. Like I love nothing more like right now than knowing that strong is like in fashion, right? Like women with muscles are no longer, you know what I mean? Like, cause I've never been skinny. So like when skinny was in, I fucking hated how I looked because everybody was skinny, right? Like I've always been muscular. I've always been thick and stocky and like, I'm just like, finally the rest of the world is fucking caught up with like how I've looked my whole life. This is great. You know?
Yeah. And just the health, like the different way that we communicate health to kids now and what's healthy versus what's not healthy. It's just, that is one positive way that our culture is going. So I appreciate that she brought all that up and that she recognizes now as an adult, like all of that really wasn't. And even when she talked about working, I mean, I went through a lot of years like that. Well, I guess you and I kind of went through some years of that where it's like, let's go to the gym, we'll work out, and then we'll do everything else super unhealthy, but it's fine as long as we look good kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
it's all about being skinny, like you were saying.
The story, we would go to meet at the gym after work, and then we mm-hmm. would get Ye Old Farm in, mm-hmm. and then we would get a pack of cigarettes and a giant bottle of wine, and then we would order pizza or Chinese food. I mean, balance, yeah, and, right?
I mean, it was like so unhealthy, but it was, as long as the scale didn't go up, right. Who cares? Because that was the only metric.
Oh my God. Back then I could just like not eat for a couple days and see the scale go down. And that just made my world happy. Unfortunately, there are still a lot of people struggling in that realm. So I do hope that like by telling some of these empowerment stories that people can see themselves in, you know, like in that, like skinny fat is not the way to be, you know, and I think Caitlin is such a beautiful example of that. I mean, first of all, she's probably the most drop dead gorgeous woman, like, on the planet. Like she's just stunning. And she's another one that she's just like, she'll talk like 500 miles a minute and she is just happy and positive. And you know, it's not that she doesn't have her struggles. It's just not what she puts out into the universe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to really look at her physique transformation and, you know, I'll post pictures so people can kind of make the association, but she does have muscle, you know, and she is, you know, curvy in all the right ways and really just such a stunning, bikini physique, I think. You know, it's fun to have seen that transformation in her.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I related with her as well when she talked about going and doing the bro prep stuff. And she's just kind of a poster child for the old ways of the world, right?
All the old ways and then learning the new ways.
Yeah. So, you know, when she talked about doing the first quote unquote prep I did was a bro prep where I got one piece of paper that had probably three things on it. And that was my entire meal planning for the day. And I was supposed to stick to that same thing for 14 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's and all I had when I was
cardio. It was cardio. I did an hour of cardio in the morning and an hour of cardio at night. And there was no calories back then, right? You just measured everything by ounces and cups. I bet I was
what eating. That paper told you to do, which is probably the same paper everybody else that
everybody else got that paper. And I bet I was eating maybe 900 calories.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. I mean, and everybody was doing the same thing, right? Yep. And obviously Caitlin also did the same thing.
Wait, let me tell you a funny story. So, you know, she was coming to see me for posing and like I said, like, and you know, I knew her coach. He's a good guy, but I think that like coaching just, you know, he even said he was like, just not like my jam. Right. So, anyway, she came to me once for posing and we were talking as I do a lot of my posing clients who work with other coaches, you know, cause I am curious what other people are doing, making sure they're being safe. And she was basically telling me she hadn't pooped in like a week. And I was like, holy fucking hell. I was like, okay, this is not okay. You know, and that's when I kind of asked like, well, what's your diet? Like, you know, whatever. And then, you know, I get the bro story and all of that stuff. Well, then the next time I see her, she tells me that the way that her coach had her go poop was to go eat McDonald's.
Oh.
So that it would basically just like flush her system because I was like, no, I was like, probably not like what I would recommend. But anyway, that was just kind of a funny story. I was like, wait, what? Like,
I have McDonald's to make never you heard yourself? That.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
No, because it's not a thing.
That's a first for me on that.
I guess to make your shit or brains out. I really don't know. But, and here's the thing, right? Because I've worked with Caitlin now for a couple years. She has a very sensitive digestive system, right? Like she, her years of the chronic dieting have definitely played a number, right, on her body. And she's very sensitive. So if she were to overeat or eat foods that are just like too heavy for her, she's a puker. She'll like puke on the drop of a dime and not because she's making herself puke. She just gets an upset stomach very quickly. So anyway, so it was like, you know, if wrong advice could give wrong advice, like that was wrong advice, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, that's a lot of what her and I worked through over the last several, you know, last couple of years that we worked together, you know, getting her to be able to, and she mentioned this, I think, you know, really being able to get her calories up enough for her to, you know, for us to kind of get her metabolism in a place where, again, like getting her lean enough was always a struggle. But I will, you know, I'll also say, you know, she's one of the hardest working girls, women, you know, I've ever met. Like she never complains. Like she would just push and push and push. And, you know, so I, you know, even though we kind of struggled to get her as lean as we really wanted to, you know, we set some goals and we, for the most part got there. She's so funny. She's so funny. She was like, well, technically I did meet my goal because my implants weighed this much.
Oh, I've definitely done that math. Without a doubt, I have done that math.
Like, if I take the implants out of it, and I was like, well, you know, that's why I don't like to give scale weight as a goal anyway, because then everybody focuses on that. But what's cool now, right, post-show, she does not actually have any plans of competing again in the future, but never say, you know, never say never. She did very well in her last season. And we're not coaching together regularly. I mean, we keep in touch, but she is in such a healthy place. now. She enjoys the freedom of eating without tracking 100% all the time. She tracks sometimes. Sometimes she doesn't, right? She is enjoying her life with her husband and her dog, Taco. Taco, yeah. Taco, I think, has his own Instagram page. You know, and so she's just in, she's not scale focused. She's not food focused. She's not hating her body because it's softer. You know, like if there's anything I wish for in women, and I know we've talked about this with many other, like Chris Fuste, she's another, you know, prime example of this. Like, we want to get women to a place where you can live like body freedom, right? Like, mm-hmm. like food freedom, body freedom, freedom yep. from the scale determining what, how you look and
how you feel about yourself,
because none of it matters. Right. And it's about balancing all of that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, she's always going to lift because she loves lifting heavy. That girl loves to chase, you know, PRs and lift heavy. She likes building muscle. She likes to enjoy eating, you know, but then also, you know, pretty much eats the same way all the time, but then doesn't have to worry about it, you know, and that's really what this lifestyle is about. Like, it Absolutely. Is not about tracking every macro you eat for the rest of your fucking life. It's not about worrying about the scale going here, there, or, you know, wherever it goes. It's not about, you know, worrying about going out to dinner and like, I should or shouldn't have this. It's just, you know, that's when you know you've really been able to like gain that freedom.
Absolutely.
And is what I want for, like, you know, as much as I like money and I want clients to like stay with me forever and ever, amen, you know, and because money helps me pay my bills, but I don't want my clients to need me forever. Like, she's a shining example of being able to go off on her own and just live her life, you know. And we knew we were at a place to do that, you know. It's like several months post show I was like, I don't think we need to do this anymore. Like, you're in such a great place. So, and that is where she is.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great story. It's a great making of story, right? And made all the mistakes, like the mainstream mistakes that you hear about. And then what happens when you just trust a different process and are willing to step out of the mainstream group think on how things are supposed to be done and actually gain knowledge and follow some science and follow some experience. And then that is how you get to really a balanced, steady, manageable, permanent place. Because no, the diet industry does not want you in a steady, happy, manageable place, because then you are not a customer.
Yeah. What do they call it in the Nagoski book? The bikini industrial complex and the patriarchy do not want us to be happy in our, do not want us to be comfortable in our skin.
Right.
Point blank, right. Period. Because that's then they lose money. Right.
Right.
So if we're not constantly hating ourselves and trying to be a lighter weight or trying to, you know, try this, that, or the other thing, then they're not making, it's a whole bazillion dollar industry that's not making money.
That's right.
Chris, I was talking to Chris the other day. What'd she call it? Was it Chris? I don't remember. She said, yeah, like, it's a revolution. Like, that's what we're doing. I was like, you know, that actually is exactly what we're doing. Like, it's a revolution. I want these empowerment stories to help women, other women, see that there is freedom, right? Like, you
right.
do not have to live your life in those fucking binds, right? The societal binds that we're in, you know, due to this fucking diet culture and everything else. And, you know, I would absolutely love to help as many women as possible. I know you and I both, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach as many women as possible to help them through this. Like, that's what we're here for.
Well, that's exactly right. And with my own therapist, one day I was talking about, I think I was overwhelmed at some point, and, you know, she's like, but you do what you do because you like helping people. If it was about money, you would do something else. I was like, well, that's true.
If it was about money, we would have both stuck with our government careers.
Right. And she's like, so you just have to keep in mind when you get overwhelmed, like, the output of what you're actually doing and why you're actually doing it, you know, and if those goals change, then you have to change what you're doing. And I'm like, well, you're exactly right. You know, this is helping other women change. And then I, at least in my own experience, a lot of my clients who go through these long processes, I mean, they're multi-year processes, But then you watch them go on to help other women change. And that's how change happens. And that's the story of how a bill becomes a law.
Junction. What's your function? That's a whole other after school.
I'm glad you picked that one up. So anyway,
I get the after school. So we are a walking, talking after school special. But our topic is empowering women to have freedom from this diet culture, right? Like, let's just, anyway, we, you know, shameless self-promotion, but we, that's what we're here to do, right? I mean, we actually are, at this sort of like strange place where we actually have some availability on both of our client rosters, which is really unusual, but it is true, right? So, you know, we're taking on clients right now. So if this is, you know, something that's interesting, right? Like if you're interested in exploring this, then, you know, by all means, please reach out because, you know, we, again, we're on a mission, right? This revolution, try to help as many women as we can, you know, competing or not. Like it's not, you know, not, it's just to get you, just so everybody can just be fat and happy like us.
Yes, that, I think. No, nope, I don't know.
Nope, wrong words. Okay.
But thank you to Caitlin. Huge thank you to Caitlin for sharing her story. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, and I'll make sure that in the show notes, I post her social media handles. She's got several, and she, like I said, she loves to do those TikToks. So we'll make sure you guys can follow her and follow us. And outside of that, like, don't get weird.
Use your head.
It'll all be okay.
All right. Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Coaching and Cocktails, the podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you like to stream your favorites. Bye.